You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with the fantastic engineer producer, Mr. Zommers, on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Wednesday, April 2nd, 2025. It is Wednesday. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is...
Hump Day!
There we go. A wet but happy camel on a hump day, April 2nd, the day after Wisconsin's general election here in the state. Zommers, we had a late night last night. We were here with our friend Dan Schaefer and many others, some election coverage. Been what, 6 hours, 7 hours since I've seen you? Something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. Well, more than that. Yeah. We weren't
12,
here.
Maybe 12.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ish. How are you doing?
Doing well. You know, I slept a lot better than I thought I might last night, given the results of the election.
Well, just because you were so elated or just...
I didn't know how it was going to go.
Right.
And so the way it went, I was able to rest easy.
Got it. No, I think that was the case for a lot of folks as we were monitoring. You know, we had our great team of reporters. And I want to give them a shout out because, I mean, Schaefer and I got to sit here behind the desk and behind the microphones and in front of the cameras. But so many other people were out there around doing stuff. You had Savannah Tomei Olson at the Susan Crawford campaign. You had Melissa Kay at the Brad Schimmel campaign, Derek Tritz at the Underly campaign, and James Kelly at the Kinzer campaign. And then, of course, you had yourself and all the other engineers and people behind the scenes. So a big shout out to them to help us out with our election coverage last night. In case you, I guess, work third shift or whatever, give you the updated results here of the two big races. Well, three, I guess, from last night. In the title card bout, it was Judge Susan Crawford over Judge Brad Schimmel, 55% to 45%, with 95% of the votes and precincts now reporting. 1,301,128 to 1,063,244, as they say in Hee-Haw, salute. So Crawford wins the Supreme Court race. In the Superintendent of Public Instruction race, it was the incumbent, Dr. Jill Underly, with 52.9% of the vote, and her competitor, Brittany Kinzer, the education consultant, with 47.1%. Raw vote totals, 95% of the votes in. It was Underly, 1,148,451, and Kinzer, 1,022,350. And on the voter ID requirement to amend the Constitution to amend it for a law which already exists, it was the yes vote, 62.8%, the no vote, 37.2%. Those are the vote totals. There are other races around the state of Wisconsin. By the way, La Crosse, the city of La Crosse, elected both their first Black mayor and openly LGBTQ mayor in La Crosse. So I think that's noteworthy as well. Here to break it all down with, oh, by the way, big show today, Zommers. At the bottom of the hour, one of my former bosses, former Senate Majority Leader Dale Schultz, will be here to talk a little bit about the election and his takes on that from a rural perspective. In hour number two, then, we have John Roach, the great filmmaker, our friend. We call him a Renaissance man. He is back in the program today at 1:30 to talk about his new film called A Road at Night. A powerful film on former Wisconsin Badger basketball player and coach Howard Moore, who, of course, endured that tragedy just a few years ago. He and his family were hit head-on by a drunk driver. His wife and daughter were killed in that accident. He and his son survived. And then during his recovery, Coach Moore had a stroke, which has left him wheelchair-bound. But there's also just a lot of hope in the story. Yes, it's tragic. It'll bring you to tears. But it's so well done. And John Roach will be here. That film is going to be, by the way, shown at the Barrymore Theater this weekend, Sunday night at 7 p.m. as part of the Wisconsin Film Festival. I believe there are still tickets available. So Roach will join us in hour number two. And, of course, your chance to win in hour two Milwaukee Brewers tickets today with our Break Into Spring Text to Win contest and also What's Worse. But what's better is our friend, our ongoing contributor, a River Falls native, a former Republican like myself, and now a senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, joining us from outside the nation's capital in Washington, D.C., Trygve Olson. Trygve, how are you?
I'm good, Todd. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Zomers and I got to work together a little bit last night, along with Dan Schaefer and others, covering the race. And I'm going to jump right into it, because as you and I traveled around the state on our What Makes Wisconsin Great tours last summer and fall, you said of the fall race, you know what, Todd, if democracy comes down to the voters of, or comes down to one state, there's nobody I'd rather have it in the hands of than Wisconsin. Wisconsin came up a little short in the fall, but by golly, rebounded and came through last night.
Obviously it did. I just think, you know, there's a piece of Wisconsin that doesn't like an outsider coming in and telling them what to do. I think you could make an argument, and we saw some of this in our data that I talked about last week. There was a sense that even amongst some Schimmel voters, that Crawford was the one who was being unfairly attacked, and it was pretty substantial. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's important. I think the national narrative that Elon Musk, that it was all a referendum on Musk, I think it's a little more complicated than that. And I don't know if you want me to talk about that now, or you want to go into that
That's what I love about your... For those that don't know Trygve, he is a nuanced guy, fun guy to hang around, but you also just have a brain and a sense for numbers and digging into this stuff and seeing what isn't always apparent, and that's where the great thing is all about discussions with you. So break it down a little bit. What hasn't been reported, what isn't being talked about that you feel people should know?
Yeah, so the national narrative that you're hearing a lot on the MSNBCs and sort of the postmortem on the left is that and I think it's kind of a cheap narrative because it's easy. It doesn't require a lot of thinking, is this was all a referendum on Musk. Elon Musk is not a particularly popular guy in the state of Wisconsin, but amongst certain faculties and certain people, particularly MAGA people, actually, he is quite popular and well-liked. It's just that the majority don't like him. To suggest that it was just a referendum on Musk and Musk spending money probably isn't fully it. I think with the base of the party, you either love Elon or you hate Elon. And the people who love Elon were going to vote for Schimmel, and the people who hate Elon were going to vote for Crawford. It's a lot more nuanced with people in the middle. I think it is, in part, they don't really like Elon either, but it's also the actions that are happening that they're uncomfortable with. And those are the voters that really provided the margins for Crawford and the reason she ran 3 points ahead of the state superintendent race, which kind of like the base of where the election would stand, because no one knew who either of those candidates were.
So I don't want to gloss over what you just said there. Break down a little bit more, if you can, for us, Trygve, what you meant by that. That there's some nuance there. What are those nuances?
Yes. So the nuance, Todd, is this. I think the people that were vehemently pro or anti-Musk were already pre-baked into how they were going to vote. Mm. People who were not, who were looking at it, were uncomfortable with Musk, but they were also had the sort of uncomfortable with the tariffs, uncomfortable with Doge, uncomfortable with a lot of different things. And so I think as people dig into the data of what happened, where you have people who voted for Trump last fall and, you know, maybe Tammy Baldwin, or people who voted for Trump and Hovde, but then switched to Crawford, what you're going to see is those are people who are uncomfortable with Musk, but they weren't voting just on Musk. It's more they're really concerned about where things are headed And Elon is representative of those. It's not about him as a person.
Do you
Whereas
think,
with the ones who are more partisan, it's just Elon's polarizing. And
do you think their concern lies in the national narratives of where things are going, like I said, the tariffs and that sort of thing? Or do you think it's more localized in Wisconsin with, for instance, people who are concerned, and not just women, because there are certainly men too, people who are concerned with the women's reproductive rights? Do you think they're concerned with that, or is it a hybrid?
No, I mean, I think it's a combination of both. I would guess, though, that it's more sort of broader discomfort with sort of the general gut feeling of the direction in which things are headed. And I think, remember, when we make choices, there's really four foundational elements to how we make choices as people. But one of them is, you know, we're relating it to what we know. And so I think there is some segment of the population who are like, here were what my expectations were for mm-hmm. Donald Trump. That's probably why I voted for him. This isn't what I'm getting. Things seem worse today than they were when I cast my vote in November. Elon Musk is doing what he's doing. I really don't like that guy. I don't like that Trump's letting him do that. Now he's here spending all kinds of money. I'll send a message.
I want to talk about the candidates for a second. A couple of things. You know, you were on early on, and we had Judge Crawford on here, and you were talking about, you know, I'm hoping that you stand up to do these attacks, much like Tammy Baldwin did. And she did, too. She ran a couple of ads saying that, that Schimmel's lying about my record. That's not who I am. And I thought that made a difference. I also, and I'm not a big one saying that debates make a big difference in campaigns, but I think this debate, I watched the whole thing with our friend Pat Kreitlow and Dan Schaefer here, our political editor. She really came out as the alpha candidate in that. She was decisive. She was well prepared. She answered questions honestly. And I thought the question that was asked by Smith, by the way, one of the moderators, give us an example of a decision you made on the bench that disappointed your supporters. And Crawford did it and did it well. Schimmel said, I just can't think of anything. I think that was those two things, I think, were a turning point. What do you think? 45 seconds.
Well, it probably said a lot about her versus him. I can't think of anything I ever did wrong. There's a little bit, there's a Harris-esque-ness to Schimmel's answer on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't think of anything we'd change.
Right.
It's like, really, dude? You're that guy at the bar?
Right.
I think Brad Schimmel is that guy at the bar, though, actually. I wouldn't do anything different. Regrets? I have none.
Like, even Sinatra had a few.
Right, exactly. He was frank.
Right. All right, come on back. More Trigby after this. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show right here for a Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to 80s Alive on the Civic Media Radio Network. Zomers, what do you dial up there?
Well, before the show, Todd was singing a little bit of It Must Have Been Love by Roxette.
Roxette? Is that where she
Roxette.
Landed? Oh, Roxette.
Roxette.
I thought she got a job anyway. Roxette.
They're Swedish.
Yes. Well, I asked for that because I had that song in my mind. Because, I mean, for a lot of people, Trigby and Wisconsin voters, you know, it's all over now. We don't have a huge election now for a couple of years. We can relax a little bit finally. So I think that's just a weight off people's shoulders.
I wouldn't pick that song to represent anything, Todd. if you're going to go with 80s music, that's about as low as you can
when was that released?
The next Zomers is going to be playing The Look by Roxette, which is amazing that you could actually have a song that's worse than It Must Have Been Love, but Roxette somehow did actually chart with a song that is worse than It Must Have Been Love.
That I played that song in vinyl.
You could have done like Good Times by Chic Zomers, or you could have done
Just
Can't Get Enough by Depeche Mode, or...
Hey.
It's from 87, by the way.
Zomers.
See, 1987, I was in junior high school.
On Wednesdays, Todd should not be picking the music. You could make the case that he should hire me instead of having me be a volunteer, or I could just be a volunteer for all 5 days of the week.
We have no budget, don't worry.
Would definitely go up, but on Wednesdays you can't go with
All right.
Or Roxette.
All right. The critiquer of my music.
Maybe we could get Take on Me next.
Critiquer of my music, Trygve Olsen, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, joins us now. He is the Charles Barkley of the Civic Media Radio Network, and we love him for it.
I am. Yes. I am. That's true.
One important note.
Big Chuck and I got a lot in common,
you do.
I'm guessing.
Yeah.
You would have a good time out on the town.
I would love to see that. And you know people. You should be able to set that up.
I bet the ladies would like us, too.
Probably. we're talking about the race last night in Wisconsin, the big Supreme Court race, Susan Crawford defeating Brad Schimmel, 55% to 45%. I thought one of the important parts of the evening, Trygve, is that when the result, and it didn't take long, it wasn't even an hour, it was within minutes of the race being called, Brad Schimmel called Susan Crawford and conceded. And I want to play the part where he came out before his supporters at Wauwatosa and told them this. I want you to hear the crowd's reaction and then Judge Schimmel's reaction.
We did it. You did all the work. You put all your heart into it. And I can't thank you enough for everything you did to try to make this a success, but it just didn't work. And I've called Judge Crawford and conceded.
Oh, it cuts off there, but he went on to say, no. When you lose, you have to accept the results. And I thought that was, you know, it used to be trivia that was just a given, but given today's climate in politics and integrity in an election, I thought that was one of the most important parts of the evening.
Yeah, I take back what I said about him. He isn't that guy in the bar.
Mm-hmm. He isn't. He at least acknowledges the law, and he accepts the results, and he calls his opponent and concedes, and he tells his supporters,
"You gotta do
that."
He does. He deserves a ton of credit for that, and he deserves for calling out his people. I get it. People are disappointed. Stakes get amped up, but at the end of the day, honestly, sun's gonna come up. It's exactly what I said on election night. You're like, what happens tomorrow?
Yeah.
I said, the sun comes up in the east, Ton.
Yeah. No, you and I have both been through election night wins. We also been through our share of election night losses. And that's the way it goes. And you got to move forward.
You know, McCain used to have a great line about that.
What did John McCain say to you?
You know what it was?
What?
He'd be like, he would say, you know what, Ton? It's always darkest before it goes totally black.
That is a great McCain line.
But it was just always make me laugh. I don't know why, but it really did. I'm like, man, it's always darkest before the dawn. He's like, no, it isn't. It's always darkest before it goes totally black.
But last night there was some light. 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to the West Coast. LA Tom tuning in. LA, thanks for calling. If you can make it brief, go ahead.
Absolutely. First off, you guys, thank you to Civic Media and Stage Wall, because I'll tell you what, if it was just all conservative radio like it was years ago, you wouldn't have an opposing or a actual truth with facts type radio. So thank you, Civic Media. I think you really made a difference, and being all around the state now is really making a difference in terms of people that want actually intelligent radio. Trivia question for you. You know what waste is?
No.
Waste,
what?
Waste is spending over $1 million on an election, on a Supreme Court race in Wisconsin, or any type of race. Democrats and Republicans
million.
In power.
Yeah.
100 million. What did I say?
You said a million. 100 million.
Yeah, 100 million. Republicans and Democrats in power must get money out of politics. I know it's the conservative Supreme Court with Citizens United that brought us here, and it is their sandbox, and we unfortunately have to play in it. But enough is enough. We need to get all money. We need to get all lobbyists. We need to get all the money out of politics and restore government back to we the people rather than to these corporations and oligarchs. Do you think that's something that Democrats and Republicans from the race last night can agree upon this?
45 seconds, Trigby.
I don't think so. I mean, I think Russ Feingold and John McCain tried, but the reality is they ran into people on both sides of their parties' apparatuses that knocked them down. Mm-hmm. I think the system is what the system is. It is highly imperfect. And the idea that you'd spend $100 million on a Supreme Court race in Wisconsin is crazy, right?
Yeah. Like,
but it just kind of is what it is.
It's
unfortunate.
Ellie Tom brings up in the chat public funding for elections. I mean, I'm for that, but I agree with Trigby.
I mean, we had that for presidential elections, right. And then, I mean, it was Barack Obama who decided to not go with
my former boss, Dale Schultz, on the other side, talking about the race in Southwest Wisconsin in Civic Media.
He'd say you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Or you'll fall for anything.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon on April 2nd. It is a Wednesday. Glad to have you along on the Tunnel Ball Show here. Zahmer is dialing up a little. You got to stand for something. Well, a lot of voters in Wisconsin stood up, did the right thing. And Trigby Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, joins us every Wednesday at this time. We're always appreciative. He is in just outside the nation's capital of Washington, D.C., and pleased to welcome in with us one of my former bosses, former Senate Majority Leader, Republican Dale Schultz, joins us from his home in Southwest Wisconsin in Richland Center, a guy who also stood for something. Dale, we appreciate you being here. And for those that don't know Dale, he loves his farm, and we had to pull him away because he's doing lots of work out there on the farm. So, Dale, thank you for making the sacrifice and coming on the show.
Well, Todd, it certainly is a pleasure to be here, but I have to be honest and say, mucking around in the rain on a cold, rainy day wasn't much competition. But it'll be sunny again, and we'll get building that building.
So not so much a favor to Todd, but I just had nothing else to do over lunch. I appreciate that.
Well, gotta speak the truth.
That's right. First of all, before we get into it, a couple of texts off the text line. This is very important from our listener in WGBW in De Pere. And it says, Todd, are we going to get the apology from you for the race not being close, as you stated yesterday when urging everyone to get out and vote? Or was this win considered quote-unquote close? I appreciate this this text because I said yesterday, get out and vote. I said, I promise you this is going to be absolutely close, and if it isn't, I'll apologize. I'll apologize. Because a 10-point win in Wisconsin is a landslide. And, I think I was just too concerned from a lot of things I was hearing and seeing. I thought it would be a closer race than it was. I'm glad I was wrong. I am glad to apologize. I don't regret helping get people out to vote. But, yes, I'll give you an apology to the listener there in Green Bay because I thought it would be a closer than it was. Dale, did the results – I mean, you've seen it – you've pretty much seen everything in your political career. Did the results – surprise you at all?
No, I don't think so. I think it was clear as we got closer and closer to election that the Lincoln Project was right, that the momentum was behind Crawford. She was an exceptional candidate. And I think what gets lost in all the what, who did what, to who sort of discussion you have after an election, the candidate is really everything. And I think she is going to be a suitable replacement for Ann Walsh Bradley, somebody who is well-known in Richland Center and well-known to me, who I think was a very good jurist. And I wish Susan all the best. We've got a lot of things to fix in the state. The court has a big agenda. And, you know, I want her to do well. And I think she is well-equipped to do that without a lot of advice from me. So with that, I'll just stop. But one thing I'll say out here, Todd, is the extremism has hit the wall, and it doesn't matter whether we're talking about how we treat our allies around the world, and particularly the Canadians. People have had it. I mean, we like the Canadians. Guys like me go north and fish every year, and we have great trade relations, and I think, you know, we appreciate the support that we had from the Europeans during the recent wars we've had in the Middle East and in Afghanistan, and they've been wonderful allies. And we want our government to stop fooling around and treat them with respect. And then I could run down the list. The police are angry about being, you know, regarded as folks that are going to sweep up people without due process. They're tired of, you know, hearing about felons being pardoned and cops being beat to half to death. You know, this is the kind of thing that takes supporters and makes them not want to support you anymore when you do stuff like that. And, you know, the vets, again, you know, we all love them, and we want to support them. And we don't like it when people think that they're fair game. And that's just really extreme. And then finally, I would just say healthcare workers, what's going on at the CDC, the Department of Health, FDA, we get it. Our health is everything. And we've got to get back to solving problems. We know we have a spending problem in this country, but I think people will tell you they're just pissed at how folks are going about it in Washington, or even worse, hiding from the problems in Washington.
Yeah. Dale, and we're talking with Dale Schultz, former Senate Majority Leader in Southwest Wisconsin. You know, Trigby and I both left the Republican Party. Dale still hangs on to the moniker just to tick people off, I think. But we appreciate that about him. I want you both, both Dale and Trigby, to talk about this, because we've talked about the Green Bay area, the Bow counties, so to speak, and Southeast Wisconsin, the Wow counties. Dale, I want to talk, and Trigby, I want to talk about the areas that you guys both know really well. Trigby, you've run congressional campaigns in the third, including Southwest Wisconsin. Of course, Dale, your Senate and former assembly district is in this part of the state. In Vernon County, which is just south of La Crosse, and then this is all along the Mississippi River, then just south of that, Crawford County, then adjacent to that to the east, Richland County, where Dale and I are from, and then Sauk County, which Dale represented for a long time. All four of those counties went for Susan Crawford last night in what, you know, a lot of people call the swingiest part of the state. Dale first, then Trigby. What's your takeaway last night to an area of the state that Trump won just a couple, 3 months ago, and now Susan Crawford wins it last night?
Well, I think the games wore off and people wanted to get back to solving problems and just a common sense approach to government. And they stood up and let their votes and their voices be heard.
Trigby.
Well, I would say this. I don't want to be the Debbie Downer here.
Do it.
It's an April election versus a November election, which is a little bit like comparing a high school football game to the Green Bay Packers and the Minnesota Vikings squaring off in terms of size and scope. But I do think there is an element. It clearly was not a good night for how Trump is going down with voters in Wisconsin. I do think there are a fair amount of low propensity Trump voters who, quite frankly, only show up for Trump. I mean, that's what happened between 2016 and 20. They got Republicans got shellacked too. You know, Donald Trump, Scott Walker paid for Donald Trump with his job. I really think that's true. So did Schimmel, actually, as Attorney General. But the bottom line is, I think that movement is good. I think Democrats in the state of Wisconsin, certainly the third, is a place where you have common sense people who, quite frankly, are looking at what's going on and are really uncomfortable about it. They're being negatively impacted by it. And it's the kind of places where, you know, right up I-94 from Madison to St. Croix County, all the counties to the west and across on the counties that touch Highway 29 going to Green Bay, that is the battleground.
Dale, you're out there every day. You still talk to a lot of people on both sides of the political aisle. You're just a guy out there putting up fences and you go to coffee shops and that kind of stuff. What, aside from the politics and the polls and the focus group, what are you just hearing on the street? What do people want right now from their candidates for elective office? What are they trying to vote for?
Well, I think the first thing is they want them to show up and listen to them. We've had a group in Richland Center that's been trying to, you know, raise the concerns that people generally have here in Richland Center, which are economic. There's a general broad feeling that we're not getting our fair share and people want economic equity now. And, you know, we can't get our congressman to come and talk to us. Last session, we had our Republican legislators refuse to answer any questions. And I think this rubs people the wrong way. I mean, most people out here are mature adults who enjoy a good conversation and are willing to talk about different solutions to problems. But what they don't want is to be blown off. And I think that process that we all sort of take for granted or have been taking for granted is coming home to roost in ways that a lot of people in Washington, well, and Madison, too, just have failed to understand.
Yeah. Let's go to the phone lines really quickly. 855-752-4842. Rob in Port Edwards. I know Dale knows where that's at. In Trigvy, too, just below Wisconsin Rapids. Rob, you had one of the best calls of the year so far on this show when you called in earlier in this campaign talking about canvassing in a very Republican area and how you listened to people who might not agree with you and then just didn't exaggerate or lie but presented the facts. I'm glad you're calling back in. Rob, what's your reaction quickly, if you can, to the race, election last night?
Well, outstanding. We did our job as canvassers and as voters, and you folks as representatives of the media, God bless you all. And I agree with Mr. Schultz that we need to change the dynamic on how we do approach people. We need to listen and to ask questions and let them ask questions and have straight answers. But going back to Mr. Trigvy and his concept of this was all about Doge, Trump, Elon Musk, and all of that, our marching orders as pollsters for the Democratic Party did not include those issues. We were germane to what was going on within the judicial system under Schimmel's regime, what he did and did not do, what Susan Crawford has done and continues and will continue to do, and stay on the positive and work towards getting the local issues brought up, not what's going on in the Fed. It's completely different than what's being portrayed here. And I hope that that's how people take what we did as canvassers and as the Democratic Party. We tried to keep the topic germane to Wisconsin. God bless you all. Have a great day, though. Bye-bye.
Trigvy?
Me?
Yeah. All right.
Sorry. Yeah. I mean, I think that was sound strategy in terms of keeping it focused on Wisconsin. As I say, the national narrative that this was all about Musk, really not, you know, for the people who had already made up their mind were making it a referendum on Elon. The people that were undecided, which is why that tactic on the doors of talking about local issues is fantastic. And then it, you know, it's connected with the narrative. I just think, and Dale would have really interesting insights on this, I think with Musk, it's more about people just don't like outsiders. And then to top it off, imagine how Republicans would have acted if George Soros had held an event in freaking Dane County for Crawford, right? Like that just rubs people the wrong way.
Dale?
What also rubs them the wrong way is when you say, I'm going to give you a chance at $1 million if you get somebody to sign a petition. And then when it's all over, you find out they pre-selected the winners and people go, was I ever stupid for doing that? I'm never doing that again. And that really makes me mad because you lied to me. How often have you lied to me in the past before you did that to me? Yeah, I think that's just sort of a gut level check for a lot of people. And, you know, but I want to say one thing and then I'll give somebody else a chance. If Wisconsin is going to change, if the country is going to change, the opposition party has to paint a picture of a better tomorrow. And it has to be prepared to be specific. It has to work within itself to come up with a united vision that people can go out and sell. And I think our last caller had said that on this previous times on the show. For those people out there who don't have their minds made up, they're looking for somebody who's solution oriented. And that's where I'm coming from too. I want solutions and I'm willing to work with people and compromise with them.
Well said, Dale Trigby.
100%. Yeah, I mean, 100%. And I think it gets back to something, Dale, that you and I have talked about a lot, right? Both when we've been on this show together and offline. And that is, there are certain things where people in Wisconsin always wore green and gold. And you've got people in the state that want to make everything, and people from outside the state in particular, like Elon Musk, who are trying to come in here and make everything red or blue. But the truth of the matter is, most of the people sitting at Johnny's Bar in River Falls or the equivalent in Richland Center, they're wearing green and gold. They're not wearing red and blue.
Dale Schultz, Trigby Olson, come on back. We'll wrap things up with them. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Yeah, I want to drive the Zamboni. Yeah, I want to drive the Zamboni. Yes, I do.
Putting extra money in his 401k retirement plan just so he has enough to own his own Zamboni when he retires to River Falls, Trigby Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, and joins us as usual on a Wednesday. Wouldn't that be, would you think your wife would go along with that if you said, look, I just want to buy a Zamboni in retirement?
No, but if, honestly, if I could drive the Zamboni at the River Falls Sports Sports Complex in retirement, that would be a dream job.
All right. We'll see. We'll try to set that up for you. Trigby joins us every Wednesday, and we're pleased to have one of my former bosses, former Senate Majority Leader
Todd,
Dale
on the
Schultz.
Next tour.
Yes? What?
Todd, I'm sorry to interrupt, but on the next tour,
yeah.
Since you did the duck boat thing,
yeah.
Maybe we could get our buddy Bill McCaution to let me drive the Zamboni at his new ice rink in Janesville.
Hey,
or their new ice rink.
Sure.
I'm all for it.
The Jets. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Dale Schultz.
You got to work on that.
Dale Schultz, former Senate Majority Leader, joins us from his home in Richland Center, Wisconsin, because it's raining and he couldn't be at the farm just outside of Richland Center. So we're happy he is here. Dale, known you a long time. You don't like to talk about yourself a whole lot, but so I will for a moment. Dale just got a brand new award. And one of the reasons that I've told this story a lot, Dan Schaefer was on this show a couple of days ago and talked about the times working for you. And of course, Dale, you and I were there back in 2011 when the Senate Republican caucus started talking about voter suppression bills. And you were the only person to raise your hand with an objection. And you ended up walking out of that caucus in protest. However, you told me to stay there. Thanks a lot for that. And you voted against the last two voter ID bills in the state because you were quoted on this network as saying, I simply can't defend my colleagues anymore. And now you've received another award for that sort of ethics. And talk a little bit about that, if you would, please.
Well, first of all, I didn't just receive an award. Tim Cullen and I both received an award for our bipartisan work to do something about gerrymandering. And I deeply appreciate it. And I know if Tim were here today with us, he would say something very similar. We had a lot of fun. It was a lot of work. But like you and Trigby, there's just something special about being able to go all around Wisconsin, meet people, explain to them what gerrymandering is, to hear their reactions, answer their questions, and then to finally find yourself one day in front of the state of Wisconsin Supreme Court, listening to the oral arguments, and seeing 10 years worth of work through to completion. And it was just very rewarding, and I enjoyed it. And I, you know, my thanks to Leader Ethics for the work they do, not only for recognizing Tim and I, but the efforts they make to recognize leaders all around Wisconsin every year. And we've had some great local officials who have been doing a great job, particularly our county clerks, and my hat's off to them. And what we need to do is accentuate the positive and worry a little less about the negative. And I think if we do that, things will be right with the world.
Well, congratulations again. Well-deserved. And for that Leader Ethics Group in La Crosse, and congratulations on that award, Dale. Trigby, to Dale's point there, and you've talked about that, about this on this show before, just the fact that there can be compromise, and if you stick to it, eventually results can happen. And I don't want to, I won't go into it, we don't have time, but Zomers and I had a drink with a couple other people last night from Civic here after our election coverage last night, and I found myself in an odd position. I was the oldest person at the table. I'm 55. It feels very weird now to be the oldest person in the room sometimes. But the younger people are like, no, you know, we're ticked off. You know, we're sick and tired of being told, you know, we have to wait. But I think there's some value and some lessons to what Dale said. He and former and the late great Senator Tim Cullen started on this in 2011, 2012. And it took until this last year to finally find fruition in fair maps. Politics sometimes is slow, but it still works.
Yeah, I mean, this whole, you know, people love to cite this, we the people. What they forget is that's not the end of the sentence. In order to form a more perfect union, right? Like, mm-hmm. that takes time. The reality is America is an idea in the form of a nation, and that idea is ever evolving. And the state of Wisconsin is an idea that's ever evolving. And perfection is always the aspiration, but it's never the destination. Yeah. Because you're never going to get there, but you can work towards it. And that gets forgotten all the time. That takes people working together.
Well,
Dale, 1 minute.
I think it has to be said that what Tim would also say, it wasn't just he and I. There are a whole lot of people, Republicans and Democrats, who came together around Wisconsin, educated themselves, went out and sold this concept. And that's what Trigby's talking about, is that constant need to grow, to fight for what's right, and it never does end. That's just the nature of man, and the fact that we've been giving it an imperfect tool to reach a perfect end. It's eternal vigilance is ours. Mm-hmm. It's our responsibility.
Well, we appreciate everything you do have done, Dale, and continue to do, and stay active in Wisconsin and into the community. About 45 seconds left. What's the big farm news? What are you working on this spring?
Well, it's too wet to do field work right now, but I think there are an awful lot of people who are wondering how the tariffs are going to impact us. I think there are a lot of people wondering, is there enough moisture in the ground? Will it continue to rain? There's a lot of nervousness on the farm. You know, the dairymen worry about their workforce being intimidated by these swatting efforts. And we have an awful lot of people who are in production of agricultural products, and they're worried too.
Former State Senate Majority Leader Dale Schultz, we appreciate you, my friend. Thanks for being here. Congrats on that award. Trigby Olson's going to stick around for a few minutes in the next hour for a little What's Worse and your chance to win Brewers tickets. Come on back for hour two. It's the All Vol Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.